Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I just remember getting a phone call and just having butterflies in my stomach and being like, oh, it's actually happening.
Hello and welcome back to the Get In Our Home series. This is the series designed to help home builders, homeowners and renovators to get inspiration and guidance from industry professionals, but also homeowners themselves. So first things first, sorry for the delay in getting these podcasts out. We've been super, super busy as of lately and I've had to press pause on some episodes. We're back in action and we're going to the UK next week to get some content over there too. So lots more still to come and getting our home is going from strength to strength. So please keep supporting the podcast, keep liking and subscribing to the YouTube channel and there's lots more still to come. In this episode, we cover so much from buying a home to renovate, making mistakes, interior design tips, buying on the commuter belt and lots more. The house is an absolute stunner and whatever you do, make sure you check it out on our YouTube and social channels too. It's definitely one not to be missed. I just want to say also thanks so much to the guys. Claire was so kind to myself and our cameraman Tiernan on the day and with such a ball and I cannot thank her enough. So please make sure to check out Claire on Instagram. She's Claire's Home and Garden. I'll post it all in the description box below too. So I started by asking Claire where they started looking for the dream home and how they went about finding the right home to buy.
So we were looking kind of around where, you know, our home houses were. We only went to see two or three houses and we didn't really see anything that, you know, didn't have the... not a wow factor.
Come here, were you always going to buy a house or did you ever have a discussion around building a house?
We had a discussion about building, but we just weren't able to get local needs. So I ruled that option out.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not something I was too upset about. Yeah. It was just kind of like...
You didn't have your heart set on building, but it was an option. Like, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So let's start from the start. So you decide to buy a house and start the whole process. What was like... on the wish list, what did you have to have, or what did you not have to have, or you know?
Ideally, I would have. Well, I wanted a detached house and one with a garden.
Yeah.
Preferably four bedrooms, and that was really.
That was it.
Yeah.
And how did the search go?
We only went to see two or three houses in Dunshaughlin, and for what we wanted to spend, we didn't really see anything that we really liked. So we put the search a little bit wider and aft and this house came up, so we came to view it. And
did you have a conversation around like the, I just find it really interesting that like 10 minutes wider and you've suddenly found way more houses, like was it like that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Big time.
Wasn't it?
I think you get much more value for money, I think, when you just move that little bit further out. So I think when we saw what this was going for and what we could do with it, bit of a no-brainer, I think.
Yeah.
It's still close to home, but we still have our own separation.
Just to give people context, how far of a drive are we from, say, Dublin City Centre to here? Say, like, in a car, how long would it take you?
Is it just...
to the city centre, about 50 minutes.
Yeah. So you're still within, well, I hate the word, but commuter belt, essentially.
Exactly,
yeah, we are.
Yeah, Paul's True Works in Dublin City.
Yeah, and, like, when you seen this house come up, like, who found it first? Like, did you text each other and say, this is the one, or we might have a look at this thing? Like, what was that like?
It was me that found it, and I organised a viewing, and we came to see it, and straight away, I just could visualise. Now, it wasn't the dream home to start with, but I could visualise what it could be, and I just had a really good feeling about it, and knew that it was the house that, like, I would like to be my forever home.
It's so. You know what's what's so mad about that statement is this wasn't like a show house that you came into and it was like, wow, like
no.
You had to have your imagination on overdrive to even imagine that, because like this house hadn't been lived in
2 years.
Yeah,
about 2 years. So
so it's very
very overgrown, very needed to go deep clean.
Very, but, a lot of cleaning.
But no, look, I had the size, I had the space, and nice and quiet here in the area, close to everything. So it was kind of ticked a lot of boxes that way. So I think once we saw what we could do with it, put our mark on it, then it was, I think that's what made us go for it.
Like, did you have the same level of love for the house as Claire did?
To be honest, not really. Yeah. A house is honestly just a house to me, and I knew we could make any house a home.
Such a
just,
man, huh?
But no, Claire had her vision of the house. I knew that it'd be lovely done up. There's other houses in this estate.
Yeah.
We knew what it could look like. But
I suppose nearly true Claire, you can nearly see the potential.
Exactly. So look, I keep looking out at the garden when we're talking here, because I just keep thinking how nice it is to have something like this.
Yeah.
On a day like today where the sun is shining, it's just so nice just to be able to relax, chill out, and just, you know, like, you can literally hear the birds, you can see horses here in the background as well. It's it's just so nice to be able to chill and relax.
And like, when you put in the offer, were you still looking at other houses, or was that it? Close the door, we're definitely here now. Like,
yeah, no. Like, we might have looked on Daft online, but we didn't go to view any more houses. I was kind of pretty set.
And then what happened next? So did you get a phone call from the auctioneer? You know, was it a 2 month wait before you heard anything back? Did you go into a bidding war? Like, what happened?
Yeah, there was no bidding war.
Thankfully, no.
No, there's no bidding war.
It was accepted fairly quickly.
Yeah, it seemed pretty quick.
Then it was,
to be honest, now trying to remember back.
Yes.
Yeah. As far as I remember, it was pretty quick.
But do you remember that moment of getting the offer accepted and be like, wow?
I got that call. Yeah. I got that call. So I had the nice move of having to ring Claire and tell her and got to choose on the phone. So it was nice. So then just, that's when, you know, your work begins, what you're going to do and get the ball moving, so.
I just remember getting the phone call and just having butterflies in my stomach and being like, oh, it's actually happening.
What have I done?
I don't know now. Kind of the fear takes over of, is this the right decision?
And did you have that sense of like, we're at the bottom of a mountain now, you know, we've so much work to do, like?
Yeah, like, to be honest, like, we didn't really, like, we knew it was going to be a slow process. Like, when we moved in first, we had to change all the windows. You know, the place had to be cleaned, painted, new boiler, things like that. And to be honest, once those jobs were done, nothing was really done for probably 2 years
before
we saved money.
So you kind of immediately made it like habitable, and then
exactly
then you went into renovation, and 2 years later to make it pretty, essentially.
Yeah, because I had just had a baby, like, you know, soon after we moved in. So I think I was just so busy with the two young kids that, you know, I didn't have the time to
devote to the house. Like,
exactly, and plus, as I said, you know, we needed time to save money to do the job
and
we wanted to do eventually.
Just tell me, so at the start when you bought the house, what did you actually do to the house? So you had to change windows.
Change the windows.
Were you aware of that at the start? Did you have it?
So when we got our report done, we were told that the windows weren't safe.
What do you mean not safe?
Like, in the bay window, the window opened and it opened fully. There was no like safety latch on it, so it wouldn't have been safe for the kids. And there were wood and they hadn't really been maintained. So like, you did actually have like gaps.
Literally
gaps that you could see out.
Daylight.
Along the edge of some windows. So yeah, they, you know, they had to be, they had to
and
be.
And then you changed the boiler? Did you do any insulation?
No.
Just down here where you were talking about?
We just did insulation work when we were getting this
But at the start you did. Of course. And then you went painting like mad?
Painted everywhere.
Before we moved in,
like, everyone helped.
And like what sort of state was the house in internally? I know outside the garden was quite overgrown,
like,
and stuff.
It wasn't too bad. Like, once it was cleaned, it was just, I suppose, a little bit old-fashioned.
Yeah.
You know, it was livable.
Yeah. And, okay, so you move in, you're living in the house. It's actually really probably a good idea to live in it for a while before you make any drastic changes, so you know what you want and what you don't want. Were you always set on, okay, we're going to change this, we're going to make it better, you know? Did you always have that in your mind, or did you nearly fall into a trap? Not trap, but did you nearly fall into a sense of, this is actually grand?
No, like, this this space here that we're in was a sunroom, and in the summer you would be roasting, and in the winter it was Baltic. Like, we literally used to like tape up around the doors leading into the sitting room, because otherwise like you'd feel
the draft
coming in. Wow. So
the kitchen was too small. We had it as soon as we moved in.
Yeah, the kitchen was quite small. No, you know, it wasn't tiny, but that was the one thing about the house that I said, oh, I just wish it had a bigger kitchen. But, you know, I knew that we would eventually get to, well, at the time I thought, extend out the kitchen. And then the way it transpired, we didn't actually extend out. We just rejigged the floor space that we had in the house already.
And you know, how did you do that? Did you go, like, get an architect or an engineer, or what did you do?
So we had an architect come out to visit the house, and I basically said that I wanted to extend the kitchen out. I wanted the kitchen to be bigger. And he basically said, you know, it would obviously be a serious amount of money to extend, and he reckoned that we had enough floor space in the house already, but we could just, you know, take down a couple of walls, make the sitting room a little bit smaller to have a nice big open space here. So he didn't think that there was a need to extend.
So you didn't actually construct a physical extension?
No.
But instead you just made use of the space internally better?
Exactly, yeah. Well, so the sunroom, you know, was changed into, you know, bricks and mortar, you know, structure, rather than being a sunroom.
Was that like a once-off consultation, or was he there throughout the whole thing?
No, that was just literally a once-off. Like, he came over for probably even like 10 minutes.
Wow.
And it was a really informal chat.
And he was just like, basically, if I were you, I'd just do
do this. Yeah.
And then what did you do next? Did you get out a sledgehammer and start knocking walls, or did you go to a builder?
We got a few quotes for builders, and we decided on one, and he came out. And like, we didn't have any, you know, plans drawn out. We literally told him we'd like this wall gone, and we'd like another wall to be built further back.
Yeah,
probably doesn't make sense. Yeah, no, you actually can't see the space.
I know what you're talking about, though. Yeah. So essentially, what we're talking about for those that are listening is that the kitchen was squared off, and they made it more into a rectangle, which opened up the space,
exactly.
And then which made the sitting room a little bit smaller.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I am perfect. And how did that go? Like, you know, was the builder like, yeah, no bother? Or did you have to get a load of quotes, or, you know, what was it like? So, you know, people might be looking at this, and they might be looking at houses, and they might be thinking, you could probably do renovation. You know, was it hard to get somebody on board to do that, or was that quite easy? Did you go with a local guy, or?
No, we didn't. So we got a few quotes.
Okay.
Now, there was probably one or two that like didn't even come back to us, though.
Yeah, going with, though, was someone who I worked with, actually recommended. He came out, was very helpful, and then we just decided to go with him. His quote was very reasonable.
Yeah.
Ended up going with him, and then
we booked him in then for the June. And I'm not too sure when that was that we actually booked him, but like, it was in advance.
Mm.
You know, it was a number of months in advance.
Will you give me a brief timeline? So when did you buy the house? When did you move in? When did you renovate?
So we moved in, and 2 years after we moved in, we started the renovation work.
Wow.
And June 2017.
You first bought the house. Okay, wow.
Yeah.
So from June 2017, wow.
Yeah.
That's actually a long time to be waiting on a renovation, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then how did that go? What was that like?
So luckily we were able to move out. We went and stayed with my mum and dad.
Oh, beautiful.
And it was full on, but luckily I was off on maternity leave, so I was able to like come back and check on progress.
Great.
And, you know, make decisions that had to be made. And before actually it started, Paul did take up all the tiles in this space. So I got, you know, from day one, it was a dirty job, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And did the builder give you a time frame? How long did that take?
Yeah, I think he told us.
Originally 6 weeks.
I think 6 weeks originally. Okay. And it was definitely long, you know, at least a couple of weeks longer than that it actually took.
And what delayed him all the time?
There was a delay. So it's a timber framed house that we have. And it meant then that steel had to be put in. And the builder didn't realise before that.
Oh, okay.
That he would have needed steel.
Right, right. So then
we had to it wasn't even really the ordering of the steel that was the problem. It was the fact that we now had to get a structural engineer
to
sign off on the steel they were going to use, because obviously we wanted to have a cert, a certificate at the end of the job. So there was the delay with that.
And how did how did you find an engineer? Did you just go to a local guy again?
We did actually try to get one, and to be honest, we were kind of fobbed off. Like, we were expecting, you know, to get information from him, and then we just didn't. And then it was like the next day, and then eventually the builder said, look, I know someone. Are you willing to go with somebody else? And we said, yeah, no problem. Like, we obviously wanted to get
one. And what did he say? Was he like, was he just like, you're putting this beam, putting this beam in your
grand? Like, the builder knew what to do, but he just needed
someone to sign it off
on it.
So it was just two beams, I think, that needed to go in, but just to make sure they were certified. And like, if we ever did plan to sell, which we don't think we are, but just to make sure that that was all accounted for. So had to be done.
Had to be done. And then basically, like, when the builder was there, were you basically leaving him to his own merry way, or were you very involved, or, you know, because what's that process like as a homeowner? Because it must be kind of weird to see somebody just in your house. Do you know what I mean? What do you do day to day? Like, you ring them up saying, how'd you
like? Like, sometimes, you know, I come in and like, you do kind of feel like you're intruding.
Yeah, yeah.
And you kind of feel like, oh, I'm in their way, but at the same time,
it's your bloody home.
It's your home.
Yeah.
Like, it's important that you can see what is actually being done and like have an opportunity to look at how it's going, and maybe, like, you know, you might decide that you want to make a change or
But was there much you were doing at all labour wise or anything? No. So apart from ripping up the tiles, it was leaving the building its own merry way, essentially.
That's it.
Right. And then when it finished up, then what sort of state did he leave it in? Was it all plaster and all you had to do was paint, essentially?
Yeah, it was just painting that needed to be done, a bit of clean up.
Yeah. And painting, did you get somebody to do that, or?
No, I decided to do it myself, and in hindsight, probably should have got him to do it. It was very, very time consuming.
Yeah. It's a tedious job,
Yeah, it's you think you've done it right, and then you need another coat, and then you need another coat. It does seem to be never ending with the amount, because it was new plaster, so I was just taking in all the moisture. But it's done now. But I think if I ever to do it again, I think I'd be definitely getting the builder to do the painting first, and just have myself top it up maybe.
And did you find it hard managing the builder? Like, did you find that he was asking you a lot of questions? You know, obviously it's quite simple build, so there probably wasn't a lot there. But did you find that difficult?
No, not really. As I said, it was a pretty straightforward job that he had to do, but there was definitely decisions that had to be made. Like, for example, you know, I had to choose what skirting we wanted, and of course you think, oh yeah, I'll go buy the skirting, and then you realise there's like a massive, you know, selection. So, you know, I had to go choose the skirting, then we had to choose the doors.
There's nothing major, there's nothing structural.
There was nothing major, but
just more cosmetic things, but I suppose they're the things you see.
They
will finish it off.
And then did you get a kitchen company in then afterwards, after he was finished?
It actually was kind of happening at the same time, really.
Yeah,
because he insulated, the two walls there were insulated, and then the kitchen crowd came in, and I suppose he had to make sure as well that, you know, there was the electrics done for us as well,
and like
the kitchen.
And like, how did you find the kitchen company? Was that a local recommendation as well, or would you give any advice there in terms of finding a supplier?
Yeah, I had a look around, but really I went on the advice of a friend who was building herself, and she did a lot of preparation and a lot of research.
Wow, okay.
So
you're like, thank you very much.
I went ahead then with the company that she got.
But that's literally like the idea of this series, is to reverse engineer. Somebody's been there and done it, you know, you're learning from them. So
I trusted her.
How was the kitchen design process? Did you enjoy that? Was there a lot of to-ing and fro-ing? And
there wasn't too much, really. We went down and we basically decided on the colour and the door
style,
the door style. I remember trying to decide on the handles, and
that was the hardest bit, actually.
Yeah, at that point, we just made too many decisions and couldn't even really think anymore.
Yeah.
So we decided to call it a day, and then I went back down another day and basically chose the handles and involved photos. And he said, yeah, they're going
I'm to sure Paul was very
whatever.
Involved. Yeah.
But no, it was very straightforward.
Yeah.
But they did look after us. They went through everything, the different options that we had. Just picked the ones that suited us. And
then we got the quartz from a different company then.
Yeah, the quartz.
So
the quartz.
I suppose it was a little bit of organising, making sure that, you know, the kitchen was put in. And then we
they
had
could
the quartz place organised because it was coming up to middle of July when, you know, there was holidays and the company said, like, if we don't get it put in by a certain date, it won't get put in until the August. And sure, we want to be back in the house.
Yeah.
You know, a working kitchen.
And, did you find it hard to think about colours and designs and stuff, or did they go through all that with you?
Yeah, they kind of went through with us, but I kind of knew what I wanted.
Yeah.
You know, when I saw the colours and the options, I think it was maybe between two, they were very similar. You know, light colour grey and then, you know, dark greys.
Just tell me, because we just spoke about it off camera and I want to touch on it. Just tell me what you did to the utility room, because I find that really great.
So, actually, that was probably one piece of advice that I give people.
Yeah.
If you are renovating or do any kind of work, you know, talk to as many people as possible. I really wanted the washing machine and the dryer to be behind a closed door. But we have a really small utility and it meant that if I did want it behind a door, I would have to open the utility door to get in, close it behind me to have the space to open another door with the washer dryer. So I was basically telling my dad like this issue and saying, oh, like, you know, I really want this, but it's just not really maybe going to work. And he said, well, why don't you just get rid of the door? I was like, yeah, why don't I? Why didn't I think of that? So, yeah, so then we just took the door out and, you know, I think it works okay that it's just an opening especially because, you know, the utility is all presses. So, you know, there's no mess that we have to hide by closing the door.
That's a really good point, like that. Sometimes you can be so in it that you cannot see it from a bird's eye view or just to get out the door.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, that's it.
Half the battle. And just what do you mean by talk to as many people as possible?
Suppose, like, you know, it was just so helpful, like, you know, having like the likes of like my mom and dad coming in and explaining to them what we were doing. Like, you know, to have my dad then just mention that simple thing,
it's
which
really
changed
the, next perspective,
the whole
design of
the kitchen and the functionality of it.
Yeah. How did you find doing things together? You know, was it very much Claire's interiors, you let her off doing her thing, or was it a lot of back and forth? I do find that the dynamic between couples quite interesting. Like, some couples are very involved together, and some people, let her off.
I think, to be honest, I think Claire kind of picked out what she liked. She gave a selection. I kind of pick what I liked in that, and we kind of whittled down from there. But I think we're fairly matched on what we like, don't we?
Yeah, we do kind of the same kind of style. You're happy
if you're
with
happy.
The style I choose.
But no, in fairness, Claire went there, she saw what she liked.
Yeah.
Gave me some options and I was able to pick. There was none there that I didn't really like, but I picked my favourite ones, and I think we ended up settling on one that we both liked. So, part of the hardware, the handles, I think.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A choice and everything else, but it was all right.
Okay, so some funny questions. What was the hardest part of the build? What did you find the most stressful?
The most stressful was realizing that we needed to have a structural engineer to sign off on the steel, because it meant there was a delay, and at that point the glass was all down. There was literally just the roof that was being suspended by very flimsy looking steel poles, and you know, knowing that things couldn't really progress until we got this sorted, because as I said, we did have an issue with the first person that we went to. He told us he'd do the job, but then
didn't actually do
it for us. So that delayed things. Like, to be honest, like, it might have only been a few days, but like a few days when you know that the builder can't progress is very stressful. So I think that was probably the most stressful part for me.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That was, it just meant more time being out of the house as well, so.
It kind of puts you into the unknown as well. It's like, when is this going to be fixed?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
You don't know.
Or is there going to be something else that comes along that you don't know about? But I suppose it wasn't the biggest delay in the scheme of things. It could have been a lot worse.
Look,
it got done. We're happy with the result, and we're enjoying it now.
So like, I suppose probably the key takeaway there is to get your engineer, your architect in early and to have that, you know, proper understanding.
And I suppose like we didn't think we would have to have that.
Yeah.
It was only because it was then realised that we do have a timber frame. Well, we knew we had a timber frame house,
but he
didn't. That's where the issue came in. So I suppose if you do have an older style house, making sure that you let the builder know to get, when you are getting your quotation, if you have a timber framed house or not.
And on the other side of the coin, what did you enjoy the most? What did you love?
Well, we came towards the end probably, but I could see that like it was nearly done and we were going to be able to move in soon, and it's probably the best part really. The excitement of it all coming together.
It's almost like moving into a brand new house then, because everything was so new. We hadn't been in it in like 8 weeks at that stage.
So
it's nice coming in. It's like almost coming into your own new show house. So nice to get back in, and nice to just start making our own mark on it then. So.
Well, I can definitely say it looks like a show house today, that's for sure. It's absolutely gleaming. For those that can't see it, and if they're listening, it's absolutely gleaming. So, interior design. Obviously, you're big in it, Claire. Did you find that you had a lot of Pinterest and Instagram accounts that you were following, that you were going to kind of follow their schemes, or like how did you work the house out, or was it here, there, and everywhere?
I had to use the furniture that we originally had, so I suppose that was kind of my starting point, and then I knew because there wasn't too much colour in the kitchen, I knew I wanted a strong colour in the background. But at the same time, I did want a kind of more of a neutral space in the living. I didn't want it to be too, in your face either. I kind of just did one thing at a time, to be honest.
And even with colours and stuff, how were you picking colours? Was it just...
To be honest, I usually just see a colour and I either love it, or hate it, or just get a feel for it. So I saw that Tilbury teal colour, and I remember showing Paul, and Paul was like, this is the one thing, no. that was the only thing he said no to me to.
You showed me a picture.
Because I showed you a picture.
Show me a picture, and I was like, no, I don't really like that. And then we went to the shop, and she showed, there's the colour. And I was like, that looks so much different than what you showed me in your photograph. And then they said, yeah, definitely go with that. So it's only because I don't think the photograph...
Maybe it's hard to see it in a photo of a picture.
Yeah, I don't want to give it true, I suppose, reputation, what it looked like. But not happy with it now, I have to say. It's a nice, strong background.
And then we originally, in the sitting room, had that light grey colour anyway. So that was kind of the two big decisions. And then after that, it was just, a case of adding some accessories. And
And did you have a plan for them, or was that all just here?
No, it was literally, like, to be honest, I'd see something I liked and I'd buy it.
It's so funny because, like, some people are so organized, so planned, and had, like, this big scheme, and you were just like, yep, yeah, I like that. Yeah. And that was it. Like,
yeah. Like, you know, there's so many things I'd still love to buy for the house, but I suppose it takes time to find things that you love that will suit your house.
Yeah.
And then you have the factor of, like, well, can you afford it? Yeah. Budget? Because obviously... Yeah. Some house things are incredibly expensive, so you have to kind of, like, you know, match your budget to
your wants, essentially.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah. So,
what is something you wish somebody told you before you started your build?
I'd say definitely add about 10 or 15% to your budget, like, because definitely think you'll find some overages or you'll change your plan somewhat of what you want. Like with us, the pocket doors, we added that in. Was obviously the steel work that needed to be done as well, which wasn't accounted for. So there was a few things that definitely made us go over budget. I think there's always going to be things that are you're never going to account for or really know about until it happens. So I definitely say about 10-15% of your budget.
And then sometimes when you're in the job as well, you kind of think of something else that can be done. Like, we decided to bring the tiles from the kitchen out into our hallway. And when we were getting the skirting then for this space, I thought, well, I'd love to have that same skirting in the sitting room because it was pine. So, you know, whatever your budget is, it's you're going to end up spending more than likely.
And do you think that is something that, I suppose, can be pulled back then, if that's the case?
Like, well, I suppose if you have to pull it back, I suppose we were just in a lucky position that we were able to do those extra things that we, you know, prioritised. But look, if you can't afford the extra, you know, to get the pocket doors, you know, we would have just went with, you know, standard doors, which, you know, would have been.
And what did friends and family say when they seen the finished house? Were they shocked at the difference?
I suppose they were. They just kind of thought, wow, it's so big and open. It's a great space.
I think the biggest wow was from the neighbours, because they had seen the house and some of them have the same sort of shape house.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And when they came in and saw how big we made it, essentially, they a lot of them were blown away by it. So I think,
and one house has actually done
the same
well, job well, since
you're setting trends.
Oh, yeah,
trendsetters. And I just want to touch on the garden as well, because the garden is a super interesting one. So what state was the garden when you got it, and what did you have to do to the garden?
It's bad state, wasn't it? Can talk about the state it was. You had to sort it out first.
When we arrived, the grass was, I'd say, up to my about waist high, just under waist. So that was essentially the first job. We literally had to get a machete, it was that tall, and just start hacking it down before we could get it lower. So started to do that. The flower beds were very overgrown, bushes, weeds. We literally had to essentially empty it out, take out all the soil as well, because it was so much.
But the actual design of the garden was the way it is now.
It's the way it is now, We just tidied it up, that's all. But that was there. But like the stones are ones that we put in, was previous stones there that we took up. So like I say, just more making our own mark on it. But I think once we got it tidied up, we kind of knew what we wanted to do with it.
So in terms of budget, like, we just decided to keep the main structure that was there and the main flower beds.
Yeah.
Don't think it needs to be changed though.
Yeah, so it's in fairness. Like, no, it is fine.
And did you find that the garden got neglected during the build, or was that something that you prioritised?
To be honest, we didn't probably think much about it. It was only literally when it came to the first lockdown and we were at home that then I thought of all these jobs that needed to be done. So it was literally the first lockdown that we decided to do the job of, as Paul said, getting out, just taking everything out from the flower beds, getting new topsoil, and literally starting from scratch, then planting and adding in the trees.
Sorry, I meant to ask earlier, what square foot is this house?
It's about 22, I think, 100 square feet.
Because it's really just like in every room, it just seems so spacious. There's a really nice like space to the house. Like, you'd think it's maybe 3,000 or something. It just feels really spacious. I think it's probably this open plan room that really gives you that.
A lot of light.
The light
plays a big part of that as well, I think.
Huge. Looking back, is there any mistakes that you made? Is there anything that you would change or do differently? Anything that, I suppose, you might have regret it? Not regret in a bad way, but just something that you might have changed?
Not really.
I don't think of anything.
That's good.
There was only changes we make if there was a larger budget.
Yeah. Which is unfair, because anybody would say that, you know.
Yeah.
If I had $100,000 more, I would have done, you know what I mean?
So exactly.
With what we've done, I think we're very happy with what we have. So I don't think there's anything that we would change. I'm certainly happy with it, don't with you?
Yeah, no, there's actually nothing I'd change. You know, I think we...
Party experience, I think, was part of the fun of it as well. So, no, I don't think there's anything that would...
I think I know what you're both going to say next, but what is your favourite part of the home?
Definitely this kitchen living space.
Why?
Yeah. It's a great place to entertain. Just so much space for the kids. And... yes, just kind of what I
love the idea of like coming down here in the mornings and having a coffee and the light pouring in. It's just, it's a real like, you know, kind of like a breathing space, you know, it's really tranquil nearly.
Yeah, especially now that we have the garden, you know, started as well. It
nearly opens it up into.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to take you back. So when did you move back in after the renovation? Do you remember what, that was June, was it?
July.
Very end of July.
Yeah. So that was 17, 18, that was 2019, 2020.
Oh,
no, when we moved back in.
Yeah, so same with the renovation.
Oh, sorry, yeah. So the renovation was in 2018, was it?
It was 2 years, so we moved in 2017.
2019.
So when we got the job done, wasn't
it? Oh, yeah, because we were away in Canada for, yeah.
Yeah.
So it would have been 2019, so we would have moved out in June, back in the end of July.
Yeah.
And do you remember, like, did you have, like, a date in mind that you're definitely going to move into this date, or, like, was
No, it was just
we were told
we'd move in when we could, because, like, you know, there was a bit of a clean-up to do, of course, like, the rest of the house got really dusty, so everywhere really needed a good clean.
Yeah,
so...
But, like, I just want to think back, like, was there a moment there when you first moved back in where it was like, oh, wow, like, we've done it, like, you know, the house is how we've dreamed?
Not really, because, like, you know, we did move back in, like, Paul still had all the painting to do. And then, like, you know, we didn't have that couch that's over there behind you. That was something that was bought after.
Yeah, yeah.
And...
like, but did you have that conversation? Did you have that moment where we were like, it's like a relief?
I think when the painting was all done and the pictures went up, it was probably the first time you actually said, we're pretty much done, bar the few little things. I think other than that,
then we started into the renovation of the bathroom and the downstairs toilet.
I did.
Well, we did.
You did.
So we didn't stop there, really, did we?
We kept going, but I think this was the space that I think needed the most attention. And when this was pretty much done, I think that's when we, because like the bathroom work, in fairness, that was just.
It wasn't a DIY job.
Yeah, like, you know, we'd done nothing ourselves with that.
Yeah.
So I think that was just a case of just getting them in for a few days to get it done, whereas this was a proper move out for 8 weeks.
But like, you know, the house isn't complete. Like, we haven't done all the jobs we'd like to do.
Nobody
like,
ever says the house is complete.
But like, it really isn't. Like, you know, for example, our ensuite, like, that's a job to be done.
What is
when
next?
I don't know.
What's the next hit list?
But to be honest, I think at the minute there's no timeline for the next thing.
Yeah.
But it's just, I suppose, paint work at the minute. Like the latest thing was the, actually I painted the stairs. That was the last thing to be done. And what's next? I don't know. I think.
And Camira, would you have any advice for people that are looking at houses on Daft and are thinking about renovations? Would you have any advice for them in terms of what to avoid or anything that might tick a box or not tick a box?
Well, I suppose it's what people are looking for. Like, some people, you know, would hate the idea of doing work in terms of renovating. Maybe they want a house that you just move in to and live in it. But I suppose, I think it is sometimes better value for money if you're willing to take your time and do a bit of work in the house. So I suppose try to not visualize the house as it is, but try to visualize it, what it would look like, you know, with your style on it.
Yeah.
Or even, you know, with a bit of an extension or something like that that would actually make it.
Yeah, it's kind of having been able to have those goggles where it's like you can really see what like the potential nearly is.
Yeah, like I'd say always think long term. So, like when we came here, this house was certainly not very attractive, I suppose, to the eye in terms of it had been unlived in for a while. But we knew with the size of the space and with a bit of a rejig, we could make it really nice. So try not to let your initial, you know, thoughts on a place turn you away. Now, obviously, there's certain things that might, but if there's nothing too major, like most things can be done. And it's just a case of just prioritizing them or doing what you want. So
yeah,
I definitely would say, you know, get the house that you want, even if it's not the way you want it then. And just slowly tip away to get the work done.
I always think that show location.
Yeah.
Location is so important.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
So like, I think you've got that down on you. You're in the countryside, but you're still so close to everything. It's the best.
Yeah,
of the
I think that's probably one of the things I did love about the house when I viewed it as well.
Like the girls from the school.
Yeah, like that was kind of maybe something else that I had on my wish list. Being able to walk to the schools.
Brilliant.
That was something that I really, really wanted because, you know, I was able to do that when I was a child. And I don't know, I just think there's something really nice about being able to walk to school.
Yeah.
And then, you know, meet their friends along the way.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Is there anywhere on the build or throughout the renovations, sorry, that you cut costs or anywhere that you save money? Would you have any, I suppose, cost-cutting tips for those that are about to do it?
I suppose if there's any work that you can do yourself prior to the builder coming, like, you know, Paul, you would have taken up all the tiles and that would have saved a few hundred. And
even in terms of furniture and kitchens and stuff, were you shopping around a lot, getting a lot of quotes? And
I did get a few quotes. Like, I did look at a few different kitchen places, but as I said, then I went with the crowd that my friend recommended.
Yeah.
And then I suppose, like, you know, we had the furniture, like the kitchen table and, you know, the dresser from our previous home. So I didn't have too much to buy in terms of furniture.
And that was good. The most important question is, do you think that this is your forever home?
Yeah. 100%.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Can't see us moving out of here.
No, definitely not. After all the, like, the time and money and work that's been put in, and the fact that, you know, the girls are in school now and they love it, like being a part of, you know, it's such a lovely community that we're in. Definitely wouldn't want to move from the house or the community, really.
No, definitely. Yeah. Can't see us moving here at all. Love it.
Good. I just want to get a quick description of the house. Just describe the house to me. This is a 3-bed semi-D with 2 bathrooms, and, you know, just give me, because I want people to be able to visualize it.
Would you say the include the ensuite and the downstairs toilet with the bathrooms?
Yeah.
So it's a detached house, 4 bedrooms, 3, a downstairs toilet.
Yeah.
2 bathrooms.
And it's kind of like an open plan, I suppose.
The back of the house is open plan, and we have pocket doors then leading into the sitting room. We generally have the pocket doors open. The only time we close them really is if we light the fire. And then we also have a study / toy storage area.
/office.
Yeah, what would you call that room? Would you call it the study?
Well, yeah, we kind of do call it the study, don't we?
Yeah.
Like, at one point it was kind of a playroom, but now that Paul's working at home so much, it's the study. And we store the toys there. In fairness, they usually just want to be in the kitchen anyway, so they bring the toys out here. And
come here, how did the kids like the new house? Because they've never known anything else, really.
I don't think they even
remember the previous house. Like,
yeah,
that.
No.
So they love it here, I assume.
Yeah.
And do they love the garden?
Oh, they do, yeah. Usually it's not quite so pristine. There's usually, you know, garden furniture and slides and sand pits. So it's great space for them.
Yeah. I think that's more or less us finished. I just want to get one last thing, and the last thing is somebody's about to buy a house, they're about to renovate a house in Ireland, and they are, you know, talking to you in the pub and you say to them, whatever you do, do this. What is it?
Try to be on site as much as possible so you can see the work that's been done, and maybe, you know, question anything if you see something you're not quite happy with, and also like try to plan every detail. Like, you know, especially in regards to the kitchen, like I didn't realize how many decisions would have to be made. Like, even obviously we mentioned the handles, but you know, in terms of the quartz, like, you know, I made the decision there and then on the spot of how high up I wanted it, how high I wanted the backsplash behind the hob, whether I wanted it curved or straight. And to be honest, I really hadn't thought about, you know, what I wanted. And then I literally had to make a decision there and then, which luckily I am happy with the decision that was made, and you were too. So it worked out for us. But I know I could easily see how someone might make a decision and then regret it because they've just made the decision so quickly without really thinking it through. So I suppose trying to think about every little detail and try to visualize the space at the end and making sure, you know, that you have sockets where you want them. Again, you know, you just be asked, okay, so where do you want the sockets? So if you haven't thought about that in advance, you know, you're just going to be trying to figure, you know, decide on the spot. But really, you might realize afterwards, you know, for example, when it came to Christmas time, you know, we have a socket here and it worked out brilliant because, you know, we were able to put the Christmas tree here. So, like, you know, even not just thinking day to day, like thinking long term throughout the year, where you want your sockets. And
I love that. Just focusing on the minute details, planning ahead.
Exactly.
Can make all the difference. Like, especially when you're stressed and you're in this like panic mode situation where you haven't thought about everything, it kind of can get overwhelming. Whereas if you've made that decision earlier on, you can go, yeah, I know where the socket's going. That's problem's been solved.
Exactly. Yeah. There's just so many decisions to be made. So I think that's maybe something we didn't realize in advance. Like, I think we were just, our lives are so busy. Like, you know, at the time we just had the two girls and we were so busy and we were at a wedding in Canada right before this job started. So it was just all go. Like, we didn't really have time to like sit down and think things through. And
in hindsight, you probably should have done that.
Yeah. As you know, I said to you earlier on, I was so lucky that I wasn't working and I was on maternity leave. So I was able to go and research things and make decisions about different things that had to be decided on, you know, kind of during the process rather than, you know, in advance of it.
Yeah. And would that be the same advice for you, Paul? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I still think the thing I'd say is the budget. I definitely adding on 10% minimum, maybe even 15% to your budget, because there's definitely going to be things you don't realise that are going to come up or just didn't envision.
I think that's even more important nowadays with the
cost price. Exactly, yeah. So that's definitely something I'd say to everyone, just have that bit of extra contingency that you can dip into if you need to.
Yeah.
If not, happy days. But I think it's good to have it, otherwise you could be stuck.
Yeah. Claire, come here. If people want to look at your home online, where's the best place to do that? Where's the best place to
find? Instagram, Claire's Home and Garden.
I'll post all those details. Guys, thank you so much. Can't believe we've been only talking for 40 minutes, would you believe? I really appreciate it. And it's great to see you both here enjoying the space. And, you know, I suppose at the other end of the tunnel, I always say that people can be listening to this and they can feel like they're bogged down and they're never going to get to the other end. But that there is light at the end of the tunnel and you do get there. And I suppose to see you here is proof of that. Evidence. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Don't forget to check out the guys on Instagram at Claire's Home and Garden. I'll also post their details in the box below anyways. Thanks so much, everyone, and hope to see you all next time.
Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage of the French Open begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.